I'm going to call the May 21st Plan Commission meeting to order. We do have a quorum. The first item is business is public comment. We have no public comment other than with the public hearings. Communications, disclosures, and recusals. Do any of the members have any of those? I see none. My screen is blank. Okay. The minutes of the May 7th meeting, are there any changes to those minutes? If not, there's a motion by Commissioner Rui and a second by Commissioner Oath. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Schedule of meetings. We have several meetings scheduled in June. June 4th will be our next one. June 18th. Also in July, we have July 2nd, July 16th, and July 30th. Next, items of business are routine items. We have six routine items. Item one, Legistar 51295, discontinuing and vacating a portion of a public right-of-way of Shave Road, located within the city of Madison. Item number two is Legistar 51454, authorizing the mayor and city clerk to execute an easement amendment pertaining to a sanitary sewer easement affecting property located at 22224 Winona Way, owned by Brian Helmer and Annette Helmer. Item three is Legistar 51455, authorizing the execution of a consent to occupy easement for the benefit of Bex Enterprises of Dane County, LLC, to permit private improvements within the city's sewer easement on property located 802 Atlas Avenue. Item number four, Legistar 51546, authorizing the execution of a quitclaim deed to release the reservation of public street right-of-way pertaining to property owned by the state of Wisconsin, Department of Military Affairs, located at 1402 Wright Street. Item five is Legistar 51547, authorizing the mayor and the city clerk to terminate a lease and encroachment agreement and execute a new lease with the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, allowing for the placement of boat storage racks, pier improvements, and other site improvements for use by UW rowing teams within the following parks: Marshall Park, Winger Park, Tenney Park, and James Madison Park. And the last item on routine business is item number six, Legistar 51568, authorizing the execution of an underground electric easement to Madison Gas and Electric Company across a portion of Midtown Police Station property located at 4020 Mineral Point Road. Do we have a motion? Motion by Commissioner Oath, second by Commissioner Berger. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We will, we can't start the public hearings. Okay, we will go to Secretary's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One note on the upcoming meetings, just a reminder that we will be having some special work sessions to go over the comprehensive plan on June 7th and June 11th. Those will both start at 5 p.m. And the plan for those meetings is really to work through the feedback that we've received thus far from the boards, committees, and commissions, and then also the public. And so we're working as staff to collect feedback and have already visited, I think it's six or seven boards, committees, and commissions, and we'll try to get you a well-organized staff memorandum on those bits of feedback from our reviewing bodies. For the June 4th meeting, the June 4th regular meeting, a few of the most notable upcoming matters, first of all, the public hearing on the comprehensive plan update. So we'll have an opportunity with no action by the Plan Commission expected, but an opportunity for members of the public to come in and speak to the Plan Commission on the comprehensive plan update. Looking down a little further, the final plat for Acacia Ridge with over 400 single-family lots on the far west side will be before the commission. We'll also see a zoning text amendment to allow food carts on private property. And then I think those are the most notable items on June 4th, other than the items that will be referred this evening to that meeting of the 4th. Looking ahead to the meeting of June 18th, we'll have a presentation on the update of the Milwaukee Street Special Area Plan. And this, again, is the area between Fair Oaks and Stoughton Road along Milwaukee Street. And that plan is in process as we speak. And then the draft Pioneer Junction and Elderberry Neighborhood Development Plan update will be before you for your recommendation to adopt. So those items will take place early on the 18th. And that is where I will stop.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The public hearing section of our agenda starts at 5:45 and we'll recess until that. Oh, sorry. Mr. Hagenau. My screen is blank. My screen's blank, so can you speak up?
Certainly. So I will not be able to attend the special meeting on June 7th.
Okay.
There we
go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My screen just came back.
Guys.
Thank you. Again, we will recess the Plan Commission meeting until 5:45, and we'll start the public hearings. Thanks. To the public hearing items. We have several items on our consent agenda. And the consent agenda are those items that staff believes an application has been sufficiently reviewed by all the city departments, and they've recommended conditions of approval. The applicant has accepted all those conditions of approval, and there's no individuals that have registered to speak in opposition. Okay. So the items on the consent agenda are items and referrals are items 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, and 14 are 13 is a referral. Item 14 and 16 are on the consent. And I'll go through each of those items one by one. Item 7 and 8, again, are I open the public hearing on all these items. Item 7 is Legislature 50758, creating a ordinance change to the zoning of property located at 717 to 753 East Johnson Street from traditional residential varied 2 district to neighborhood mixed use district. Item 8 is Legistar 50430, also referred to June 4th, is a revised consideration of a demolition permit to demolish or relocate 7 residential buildings and a conditional uses to construct 2 4-story mixed use buildings with 2,800 square feet of commercial space and 54 apartments, and approve a planned mixed-use site with 7 buildings, including 5 residences, with 13 total units on property address at 717 to 753 East Johnson Street. Those, again, are referred to June 4th. Item number 11 and 12 are being considered together. Item 11 is Legislature 51169, creating a change to the Madison General Ordinances to change the zoning of property located at 9951 Old Sock Road and 645 Schwal Road from temporary agriculture and suburban residential consistent one district to traditional residential consistent three district. An additional item with regarding that development is item 12, Legislature 50994, approving the preliminary plat of Chappelle View subdivision and a certified survey map of land generally addressed at 9951 Old Sock Road and 645 Schwal Road. The next item on consent is it's a referral item number 13, Legislature 50431, consideration of a conditional use for a residential building complex with two relocated two-family two-unit dwellings at 827 East Gorham Street, and that's referred to the June 4th meeting as well. Item number 14 is Legislature 51122, consideration of a demolition permit to allow more than 50% of an existing single-family residence to be raised and an addition to be constructed at 408 Westmoreland Boulevard. And the last item on the consent is item number 16, Legislature 51319, consideration of a conditional use for an outdoor eating area for a residence tavern located at 729 Glenway Street. And we have some individuals that have registered for item number 11 and 12. Chad Wobeen at 5024 St. Anne's Drive in Wanakee. Available to answer questions. Kari Foose at 6840 Schneider Road in Middleton, Wisconsin. Also item 11 and 12 in support does not wish to speak. And also on item number 16, Megan Heil at 729 Glenway. In support, available to answer questions. I will close the public hearing. Do we have a motion to approve? Motion by Commissioner Rui. Do we have a second? By Commissioner Berger. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. So the individuals, the consent agenda has been approved for those items. If you wish to stay, you can. If you wish to leave, that's fine too. So we'll move to the other items that that are not on consent, and those include items 9 and 10 and item 15. So item 9 and 10 are being considered together. Legislature 51168, creating a change to the Madison Ordinance to change properties located at 9563 Blackhawk Road and 9550 Sandhill Road from temporary agricultural district to suburban residential consistent one district. And the accompanying item is item number 10, Legislature 50993, approving the preliminary plat and final plat of the ninth addition to Blackhawk Subdivision on land located at 9563 Blackhawk Road and 9550 Sand Hill Road. Excuse me? We'll have the staff report on these items. Let's see.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, Tim Parks with planning staff. Items 9 and 10 regarding the ninth edition of Black Hawk were on the consent agenda. However, it came to our attention just before the public hearing that the applicant and surveyor wanted to discuss one of the recommended conditions of approval. So I'd be happy to answer any questions after you hear from them. Thank you.
Okay. We will now open the public hearing. And the first speaker is Randy Kolinsky.
Hello, Randy Kolinsky with the Vierbecker, the civil engineer for the developer who's here tonight. The one item that we wanted to bring to your attention that we had concern with was actually number one, comment number one from civil engineering, and it states, the stormwater easement between lots 500 and 501 shall be changed to an outlot dedicated to the public. Further, the neighborhood or homeowners association shall be responsible for maintenance of all three bioretention systems to be located in their rear yards on public easements. The only concern we have with that is dedicating an outlot. We've been through this process several times, and this is the first time we've ever seen that an easement be required to be dedicated as an outlot instead. We've been in contact with several city staff members here today, this morning, regarding this, and we're still kind of working through the resolve. I guess the one concern that was expressed to us was that it was kind of an access to the southern portion of the lots, and actually, why don't I just grab it? So here is the area in question, actually, down here. And we have a 30-foot wide stormwater and drainage easement that we are dedicating. On top of that, we'll be picking up runoff from the street, putting it down through storm sewer to discharge here. From preliminary discussions, we were going to dedicate a 20-foot wide, which was what was requested, 20-foot wide easement through here for access purposes down to that stormwater facility. This is the first time that we've seen this comment, and I guess what we'd like to see is just the language revised on this comment to allow us as the developer's engineer to work with city staff to address their concerns with whether or not it needs to be an outlot or if we can in fact keep it as an easement and add language that they see applicable to get, you know, the rights that they want for that easement. I'll be available for questions.
There is a question. Sure. Commissioner Rui.
My question is, why do you have a problem with it being an outlot?
Well, what it does is then, if it turns into an outlot, then it decreases our building footprint.
By how much?
So right now it's a 20-foot easement. The side yard setbacks are 7 feet. So if you then dedicate that as an outlot, then it's an additional 7 feet where, you know, it'd be 3 plus the 7, so about 10 feet of the build, you know, building pad on both.
So what your intent was to build tight to the easement, the footprint?
Yes, because the easement falls outside of the building setback. So here's the lot line. We're 10 feet on each side. If the setback was 7 feet, it would encroach into the easement. So we pulled the building footprint, you know, the buildable area, back to that easement line.
So you're not considering that since they have to maintain the storm sewer in the future, that they might have an access issue if the building is tight to the easement line?
Well, you know, there's always concerns with that, or them, you know, building planters within, you know, those limits as well. But I mean, it would be explicitly stated that they cannot do that. You know, so, I mean, you run into these situations very, very frequently.
Okay. Are you through, Mr. Commissioner Ray? Yes. Commissioner Berger.
Hi. I was just wondering if you had discussed with staff at all the option for referring this until the next Plan Commission meetings so that things could get worked out, and what your thoughts are on that.
We are actually on a very tight schedule to deliver these lots, and so we've worked pretty diligently with city staff in the upfront planning process to adhere to that very tight schedule. And so referring this would be, really couldn't be done. I guess all I'm asking for is that we allow us to work with city staff through this issue by just kind of rewording that. If in the end, you know, they take the stance that it needs to remain an outlot, then that is, you know, kind of what it is.
Thank you.
I have a question. Is the storm sewer, is that an underground storm sewer?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So it's not overland flow. Okay. And it's 20 feet wide?
Correct.
And will the storm sewer be in the center of the easement?
Yes.
And you're suggesting it because of the setback, of the building setback.
That's correct.
And that you would build to the, basically the easement line, rather than setting an additional 7 feet back as a side yard.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Hagenaugh.
Are you building to the easement line on the front of the lot? Or on the
side?
Side of the lot. Sorry, the where you've got the other easement running along that edge.
You're saying, yeah. Are we building up to this easement line?
No, the other.
This one.
The back one.
The back one.
Yes.
I haven't seen the. I mean, all we're trying to do is allow for, you know, the maximum building footprint there. I haven't seen any of the actual building dimensions. So, I mean, there may be a home that's planned here that's a couple feet off. All it does is allow them to build to that point.
Yep. Thank you.
This is kind of new to me too. So,
would you like to come?
I'm John McKenzie.
And you need to.
I just want to understand because this was.
Just one second.
Oh.
You need to come to the podium.
Okay.
Also, you need to fill out a green sheet eventually.
Okay.
So that we'll have that on the record.
After the fact.
And your name and address again is?
John McKenzie, 902 Hidden Cave Road.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure I understand this because this is new to me, too. Normally, in Blackhawk, all of the lots, we have a lot line, and then we have a setback of 7 feet. We've tried to get 10 feet, a side yard setback of 10. So if this was an outlot, does that mean the setback is 17 feet?
No, this strip, this 20-foot strip, would become an outlot. And now your setback, the 7-foot side yard setback, would be determined from that outlot line,
right,
which is now 20 feet wide.
Okay, so but isn't it 10 feet on one side and then 7 feet in addition?
This would become outlot, and then you'd have a 7-foot each direction.
Okay, so what is the dimension for building a house then between there? Because you're setting back 7 feet from this side, right?
Yeah, those are about 90 or 91 feet, so you'd lose 10, so you're down to 80 plus 7, 14, so 66, if I'm doing the math right.
Yeah. Okay, that's the problem. Okay, I understand.
Anyone else? Okay. Do we have do we have any other comments? No. Do we have a motion? Oh. I'll close the public hearing, and do we have questions for city staff? Yes. Ms. Berger.
Sorry. I just wanted to verify that this is, that would be appropriate, that staff is comfortable with potentially changing condition one to be a little bit more loosey-goosey, I guess, that the applicant will work with staff on the easement issues, or, yeah, wanted to get staff's feedback.
Yes. Mr. Parks.
Thank you. The genesis of this is we're doing some atypical things with the stormwater management for the subdivision, effectively to maximize the developable area. So whereas you, in many subdivisions like this, regardless of size, you'd have outlets dedicated to the public for stormwater management. We're doing a combination of rear yard stormwater management in easements and rain gardens in the terrace between the sidewalk and the back of curb. And I think the concern that it appears in reading some emails that have gone back and forth this afternoon between the project team and city engineering is a concern that they don't have the same level of access to the easements behind lots 500 and 504 as they do to the other lots, which are accessible either from Blackhawk and or from Sand Hill Road. So having an outlet dedicated to the public is a little more absolute than an easement. There is language on the final plat. May not be easy to read on the copies that the commission was provided. Basically allowing the city to access the easement for maintenance purposes, but then restoring the area, working with the property owner. It's probably a higher level of service in the event of an emergency repair than the city would do to its own property. In the event that we would have to tear up an outlot, let's just say the level of finish is going to be more modest than if we're restoring someone's side yard. So I think the outlot gives the city a little more latitude for that. Mr. Kalinske and I talked about some of the downsides about a dedication to the public, and they may prevail using that in their discussions with city engineering, so we could soft pedal the language a little bit to say that an outlet will be dedicated unless otherwise agreed to by the city engineer, so that if we want an outlet, it's very clear that we're getting an outlet. And if they're amenable to something less than that or different language in an easement that's clearer that we won't be restoring someone's side yard quite as nicely as perhaps they would like, that as long as that's laid out on the final plat, that they're aware of that or should be aware of that in the future, that perhaps that might be a middle ground that we can achieve given the late-breaking nature of this.
Okay. Do you know if it was discussed at all reconfiguring those three lots, you know, to kind of spread out the space differently, or that really hasn't been discussed as part of this?
This is where the water wants to go towards the southeastern corner. And so I don't know that we have a lot of good alternatives, plus the fact that this is a fairly, well, relatively compact infill development in terms of filling in a gap along Blackhawk Road and in the Blackhawk subdivision. We have development on all three sides in the city, so we don't have as many opportunities for access as we might if there was undeveloped land adjacent to this.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, do we have a motion? Yes, Commissioner Berger.
See, I might need some help from Mr. Parks, but basically, oh gosh. So I move approval of the alteration to the approved conditional use, finding that the conditions are met, with one change that for condition number one, inserting a sentence after the stormwater easement between lots 500 and 501 shall be changed to an outlet dedicated to the public, comma, unless staff and the applicant agree, mutually agree on a different type of solution. Did I capture it? All right, you'll clean it up for me. And that's all I got.
And this is item 9 and 10 on the rezoning and the preliminary plat.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Is there a second? Second by Commissioner Oath. All those in favor of the motion? Oh, we have a question by Commissioner Rui.
Just one comment back to staff. Another possibility is a narrower outlot.
Yes.
With some easement on each side of it as another alternative they could be looking at to help deal with the setback issue. So the city has that absolute issue of getting back there. Thank you.
That's a good recommendation. I thought that would be a solution to reducing it from 20 feet to 15 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah, but, and then have easement beyond that for the rest of it.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Rui, Commissioner Rui. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The last item on our agenda, which is a public hearing, is item number 15. It's Legistar 51125, consideration of an alteration to an approved conditional use for a residential building complex at 9920 Watts Road. Do we have a staff report? Yes, Mr. Parks.
Yes, just briefly, Mr. Chair, members of the Planning Commission, regarding 9920 Watts Road. This was a project that you approved roughly a year ago for a residential building complex and also a rezoning to TRU1 to allow development of 105 apartment units in two buildings. The plans that were approved in June 2017, there's a typo in the staff report, June 5th, 2017 meeting, included a pool and a clubhouse. The clubhouse was approximately 3,200 square feet at the northwestern corner of the southern building. The applicant has since begun construction on the project, is seeking an alteration to eliminate the pool and reduce the community feature for the apartment complex. The consideration of recreational amenities is one of the supplemental requirements for residential building complexes. Staff did not feel that we could approve that change administratively and recommend that the Plan Commission instead consider it. In reviewing it, the Plan Commission must still find that the conditional use standards are met, that the supplemental requirements for residential building complexes are met, and we would ask you to consider in making that determination, the availability of other recreational resources for these 105 units in the event that the on-site amenities are changed. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them after the public hearing. Thank you.
I will now open the public hearing. We have one registrant, and that is Julian Kisioff at 476 Presidential Lane in support wishing to speak. You have 3 minutes.
Okay. This is the project that is under construction in a pretty advanced stage. I want to show you how far we are already with building A. We are not proposing any changes. Pretty close to what you can see on the 3D rendering. And the main issue was, before we started the construction, we couldn't make the numbers work. everybody knows how the construction materials, labor, and everything went up, especially after the hurricane last year. And we started thinking, should we give up and not build it at all, or maybe we can somehow cut some not absolutely necessary elements of the project that can still make it work. This was the initial approved version, what you see now on the site plan, which has a pool and a clubhouse in that red area. This is the altered option. After we removed the clubhouse but still retained the fitness room, which is the most used in that kind of public activity in residential complexes, the two apartment buildings are not changed at all, underground or above ground. The unit number is the same. Everything stays as it is. We removed the pool and the clubhouse, as I said. Well, it turned out that it doesn't affect desirability because even though it's not open yet, we are at 30%. By the time it opens July 1st, we are expecting to be at 60% occupancy before even the opening. The pool was driven by the competition. Even though the size of our lot doesn't offer a very nice pool amenity, it was kind of more like a tub there, but the other development has a really huge, in close proximity, huge and rich amenities. And people kind of like when you say a pool. It's a small pool. It was really, now when I'm looking at the site there, see that it wouldn't have been really a nice amenity. It's just from the third floor. You can see how close. I took a picture today. Not a great, because it was gloomy. A picture from the third floor. You see how close the woods are from that wetland. And it's a very small strip after the water treatment areas. It remains a very small, like about 30 feet area. That
could you wrap up your comments in 1 minute, please?
I'm pretty much done.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Everything from now on will be, I don't know, advocating why we did it, but we have to do it mainly for cost reasons. Now I see architecturally it's not a big loss. That's all I can say.
Okay. Are there any questions? Yes, Commissioner Berger.
Sure. I was curious because I heard you talking about the losing the pool, but you didn't talk too much about losing the clubhouse or the game room was another amenity that looks like was in there originally. You wanted to comment on that at all?
Otherwise, the question was to build or not. We were trying to retain everything, all the quality of finishes and units that are important for the tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Without touching them as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a luxury units. It's above everything that we've done with this developer so far. With granite tops.
Mm-hmm.
French door, refrigerators, that kind of stuff.
And I can't remember all the details. I remember this coming before us. So I don't remember all the details, but who is your market? Who's your anticipated market for this? Are there family units in it at all? For families, any children, do you anticipate there being a lot of children here?
Well, the owner can speak more about those details. My impression is they don't have very many children.
Okay.
This is targeting the area where it is. It's targeting mainly epic people. And since they make a lot of money, you can see a lot of tenants, a single in a three-bedroom, two-bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just, like, I'm imagining who would have maybe, not that grown-ups don't use pools, too, but who might have used game rooms and community rooms and pools. You know, it could have been a nice amenity if there are kids. But then again,
sacrifice,
kids enjoy running around in grass, too.
Yeah,
Or do you have any plans potentially down the road to add amenities, eventually?
Maybe, because the competition will force us. If needed, it can be added.
Mm-hmm.
The way we... You have the plans in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can see currently we didn't touch the basement, even though it extends beyond the apartment building. Mm-hmm. With that idea that the full equipment room in the future, if we go that route, will still be located there. So if we didn't shrink the underground. There is a chance I can't make such an announcement here. This is up to the owner. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Or even just like a deck or a playground or, you know, some other outdoor amenities.
Well, they are thinking now of really rich outdoor in that remaining green area, mm-hmm. like more like a couple barbecues, okay. one fireplace, and they are in negotiations with the fire department because the distance is an issue. It's mm-hmm. a small area.
Oh, right. With fire pits.
So if we okay. comply with the fire code and we push them beyond like 25 feet away from any combustible, mm-hmm. material, we are at the edge of that green space.
Burn down the forest. Yeah.
They're trying to figure out. Yep, it's really small.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
From the window, what you see is a nice green curtain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a nice
which
amenity,
will be forever.
Too.
That's the yeah. beauty of this lot. Mm-hmm. Because it's a wetland. Nobody can touch it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Berger. Commissioner Rui.
Okay. Excuse me. The pool was an outdoor pool?
Yes.
Planned as an outdoor pool?
Yes.
The pool is what?
Your swimming pool was planned to be an outdoor pool?
Outdoor, yeah.
And you alluded to it. You're going to keep this area as open space if you don't use it?
It will be open space with a barbecue, a couple barbecue and one fire.
I wouldn't go that far, but you wouldn't have a problem if we approve this, that it must remain open space.
Yes, it will remain open space, for sure. Okay.
You can't build anything on it. Unless you come back here again. Okay, that was one of my concerns, is if you're going to lose the clubhouse, at least you gain some open space, which a lot of these places don't have.
Oh, you mean if you approve it now, we cannot come back and build a clubhouse?
Well, you have to come back to us again if you wanted to build a clubhouse.
Of course. Yeah.
But I'm looking at a guarantee. I was looking at a guarantee that it would remain open space. And I guess we could... If we approve this, we could mandate that it have to remain open space. Okay, thanks.
I see no other speakers, so thank you, Mr. Thank you.
Questions.
No other questions. I'm going to close the public hearing. Do we have questions for staff? I see no questions for staff. Do we have a motion? Yes, Commissioner Berger.
All right. So this is the alteration to a conditional use that I accidentally alluded to last time, but I would move approval of this alteration to an approved conditional use. I do think that it meets the conditions, the supplemental requirements, particularly the one in our staff report, lettered A, that recreational areas may be required to serve the needs of the anticipated population. It sounds like while this is a change from the original plan, there will still be some amenities. They're keeping the fitness room. They're keeping some open space, which is, you know, definitely does have a value. And they're even talking about doing some improvements, potentially barbecues or fire pits or, you know, just some nice space for people to hang out. So I don't think that that it's, you know, ruined the spirit of what it's trying to do for recreational areas. So I find that it meets the standards.
Do we have a second? Second by Commissioner Rui. Yes, Ms. Commissioner Rui.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify in the resolution that this area remain open space. No?
It's not friendly.
It's not friendly?
I guess, Commissioner Rui, I have a question regarding your addition. What if they wanted to put some barbecue?
I consider that open space.
Okay.
I call it a usable public space is what I'm looking at.
And I guess I will ask staff, if they construct any type of building, that would constitute a change which would result in plan commission review. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. Staff would have the opportunity to consider very small changes as minor alterations. Okay. I think that if there was a building, this would be something that certainly I, as staff, would think would come back to the plan commission for further review. But if you want to clarify that, that's something the plan commission could do. Just clarify that if there was a future building such as the formerly approved clubhouse, that it would come back to plan commission.
I withdraw my attempt. You explained it very nicely.
Okay.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Commissioner Berger with a second by Commissioner Rui. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The last item on our agenda, I believe, is announcements. I see no announcements. At least I don't have any. And adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Commissioner Rui moves. We have a second. Commissioner Oath, second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.